This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Experience Life, a brand new series that we are going to be diving into over the next several weeks to help you and I to experience the life that God wants us to live. See, listen, there's a lot of people who they're feeling empty. They're feeling a little stuck. They're feeling maybe they're feeling that a little overwhelmed in life. And the best picture I could get, literally received, like I was kind of praying and going, okay, God, getting ready to launch this new series this morning, like just literally a couple hours ago. And the Lord gave me this picture. You're going to love this. You may hate this. But the picture of the mouse trap, but the glue trap. The glue trap where a mouse gets stuck on the glue trap and it's alive and it's breathing and it's moving. It just can't go anywhere and it's completely stuck. And without, you know, it's just, its future does not look good, you know. And I'm telling you, sometimes people in life feel that way. Like, I'm breathing, I'm alive, I fell asleep, I woke up, I'm still in the same place in life. And I feel stuck. God doesn't want that for anyone. God wants you to experience a life that is beyond the normal and the typical and what you're experiencing right now. God is going to tell you there is more. You can experience an amazing life. In fact, we're really serious about this. We want everyone to have that opportunity to experience life. We want to get that into the lifeblood of who we are. When someone asks you, well, what's the Fields Church all about? It's a church where you can experience life, life to the fullest. We want to be a life-giving church. We serve a life-giving God. And we want to be known as that. We want you to be able to talk about that. We want you to realize and to get it deep down inside of us for your kids, for your grandkids, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, that the life that they're living, there can be more. God wants you. He wants me. He wants all of us to experience that type of life. The problem is most people don't really live their lives that way. And so they can't even fathom it. They can't even picture what a better life would be. And so this series, we're going to be talking about what a better life would look like, what it looks like to really experience life. Now, I don't just say that to hopefully give you some goosebumps and kind of be a good feely church, and I don't want to be just Mr. Motivation guy. I'm taking this because this is what Jesus has said. This isn't just, hey, I hope to just kind of puff you guys up and feel good about life and you walk out of here. Like, Jesus literally said this. How do we know this? His friend John, one of the writers in our New Testament, John just hung out with Jesus a lot. He took it all in. He was writing down, memorizing, and knowing the stories and the life and how Jesus talked about things. And this is one thing that Jesus said. It was so powerful that he wrote this down. And we see this in his book, John, chapter 10, verse 10. He says this. And there's a lot of different ways to, our Bibles are now, you know, because of the scholars are taking original language, and now they're looking at today's language and trying to help us understand God's word a little bit more. There's a couple different, what we call translations. I want us to look at a couple different ways to see how Jesus said this. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Jesus talking to people. John was like, oh, you're not going to believe what Jesus said here. Yeah, I'm going to write this. I want everyone to know this. That the thief, Jesus is saying, listen, the thief comes. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus just kind of leaning into the crowd, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. A scholar wrote it a little differently, looking at the original language, and said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Another scholar wrote, you know, different scholars got together and wrote another translation of the Bible, NIV says, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we're seeing that Jesus is sitting there saying it can be rich and satisfying. It can be abundant. It can be more than you've ever dreamed of. It can be completely full. There's a pastor named Eugene Peterson. He took the Bible and said, I'm going to put it in words that my congregation will really understand. He wrote an entire paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. This is the way he phrases this. A thief is only there to steal and to kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I love that. A more and a better life than anyone has ever dreamed of. I really believe that the world has pressed people down so much and they feel so defeated and deflated that they don't that we don't even dream anymore. We don't even dream of what's possible. We don't dream of what good things God could bring into our life because we start just believing in the normal, in the typical, in the ordinary, and we get to the place where we wake up and go, this is just life. This is what it is. And just listen to Jesus, just like breathe life into us today and say, listen, no. I came so that you can have a real and you can have eternal life, and it's going to be more and better life than you ever dreamed of. That is what it means to experience life. And so as we dive into this in this series, I just want to start today, the very first message today, the very first part of this is just to know that we can have the best life possible, and that's by knowing God, having real relationship with Him, that will breathe a life into us that's beyond anything this world could ever offer. When I was growing up, my story is a little bit of, you know, getting to know God. When I was growing up, I grew up in church. I grew up in kids choir, kids Christmas play. I would put this little white robe on, and I would walk up the side aisles, and I was a candle lighter. The candle lighter, there's these things about this long. They were brass and like, looked like fake gold, and you know, and you'd walk up to the stage, and you'd light the candles, and then you'd push the wick out, and then you'd walk back down the center aisle. If there was fantasy league for candle lighters, I would have been a first draft. Like, I would have been picked in the first round. Like, I knew how I could, like, every single one, I'd lit them. Like, lit, fire, fire, fire. It's like, I was good at it, you know? And I was in kids choir, and then in fifth grade, I had the star role of the Christmas pageant. That's right. I mean, that was me. I don't think there's any singing parts, because there was no way that I would have got the kids, I would have got that. But listen, I was in church. But to be honest, when I look backwards, God was not in me in a way that he is now. Like, I just didn't have that real relationship with God. I knew how to sing the songs. I wasn't very good at singing the songs, but I knew the songs. I knew how to behave in church. I didn't always behave the way that I was supposed to behave, but I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew that stuff, but I didn't know God. I just didn't know him. I didn't have a real personal relationship with him. I can look back, and I was put in the right position to. I thank my parents and the church that I grew up in. I mean, I'm absolutely thankful. I just didn't make it personal. I didn't make it personal where I looked in and said, okay, God, I want you in my life. I just don't want to be surrounded by church things. And I think everyone comes from a different past and a different exposure of religion and spiritual things. And we all we're all unique. Every single person in the room today, our relationship with or without God or how we got to the place we're at today, that you're in this seat today, you're sitting there for a reason, you're listening to this message for a reason. You got here at some point and we all have a very different past. Some of you were like me, you grew up in church, but that didn't mean you had a real relationship with God. You just kind of grew up in church. Some of you guys are more like, you know, you haven't really attended church much, and this is all kind of new, and your exposure to God has been media or entertainment, or you Googled, like, what's it mean to know God, or who is Jesus, or what is church, and you've been on a little bit of a self, you know, exploration of letting the internet kind of feed you to figure out, what's this all about? Like, that's very, very typical right now. Some of you guys had a grandma that prayed you into church. Like, you had a grandma that would take you to church, maybe drag you to church. She was praying for you. She loves you, and you were in church as a kid, and she is happy that you're here right now because you had somebody in your life saying, hey, won't you come? I want you to come with me. You get to sit next to grandma in the pew or whatever. That was your childhood. That's some of your exposure to church. Some of you may have grown up in a home where Christians were talked poorly of. In fact, we don't go to church because we're not going to let someone else tell us how to live life. We don't want you to be a Christian because then you're just these mechanical robots doing these rules. And some parents are like, I don't want to force anything on my kids. I'm going to let my kids just discover who they want to be on their own. And maybe you grew up in that environment. Maybe you're parenting in that type of an environment. Some of you have had exposures to several different maybe world religions, philosophies. You've gone to, you know, university and college and read books and traveled the world a little bit, and you've seen a little bit of everything, and you realize these guys believe this and these guys believe this and these guys believe this. And to be honest, you sit there today and go, man, it's just a little muddy. I'm a little muddied on what I believe because I've been exposed to this and this and this and this. I'm still just trying to figure it out. What's right? What's wrong? Some of us are just living on autopilot and we're just trying to survive. You're just trying to get the kids fed and you're just trying to get them to where they need to be. You're just hoping to pay the bills next month. And you're honestly saying, I don't even have time to think about a relationship with God. That's like kind of far on my list. I got to feed people. I got to make some money. I'm tired. And maybe that's where you're at. Some people had a really poor family experience where I talk about a loving father. That's the last thing you can even dream of. You have no idea what a loving father is because you came from a home that didn't have a loving father. And so loving father and owning a dragon is in the same world of, I don't even know if those things exist. And so you're trying to figure it out. And here we are talking about a God that loves you and a good, good father. And you're like, I've never, ever seen that. So that could be where you're at. Some of you come with just really open hearts and genuine hearts, and you lean in every week, and you're just trying to learn a little bit more, and you're trying to figure it out. Some of you have been here for years and decades, and you're here, but you're really spiritually not here. I mean, we're just all over the board, and that's why I sit back and go, wow, we have come from a lot of different places, and that's okay. That's what makes this place really special is anybody and everybody can come in and just like start to lean in and go, okay, so what's this mean to follow Jesus? And so I want to tell you a story today where somebody leaned in and said, I got some questions and I got to figure this thing out. John tells this amazing story of a guy named Nicodemus. Now John, remember, he's a friend of Jesus. And he tells this story about Nicodemus who's curious about who is this Jesus? Who is this? He's trying to figure it all out. And I like John. John was very personal to Jesus. When you read the Gospels, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's something about John and Jesus and their closeness and kind of the buddies and a lot more personal. He wasn't just all factual. He's telling the emotional side of the story of being with Jesus. And, you know, he spent a lot of time with Jesus. And now we get the benefit of listening and getting to figure out what would that have been like. So he writes this book that's called John. It's really the reflections and the story of the life of Jesus through John writing it down, inspired by God, but he writes this down. And it's in our Bible. The Bible is this collection of all those type of stories, people who've received these words and messages and things from God, and now we package them up into 66 books, but one of those is just the story of John. And we read that, and I love why the story of Nicodemus matters and why hearing it from John matters is because I just kind of feel like anyone who has hung out with Jesus and was right there next to him and first account watched all these things, and now he's going to write down and let us know about it, I'm going to lean in and listen to that person. There's one thing about reading about scholars who know of Jesus, and there's one thing about reading from someone who was with Jesus. So I want to read John. Like, I want to read my Bible. I want to read from these guys. They were with him. And so the story of John and Jesus and Nicodemus, it really matters. Like, John gets to really tell this powerful story of someone who is curious and trying to figure out what does it mean to know God. Let's take a look at it. John chapter 3. It says this. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. We'll talk a little bit more about that. After dark, one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit can give birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How? How are these things possible? Nicodemus asks. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you don't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about the earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about the heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake and on the pole in the wilderness," we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, "so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world." He's helping them understand this now. "He gave his one and only Son that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Man, this is such a powerful conversation. It's not just a story, it's a conversation. It's a conversation of two people, Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, Jesus was new on the scene, creating a little bit of resistance, and the religious community was backing away, going, "We don't know who this guy is. We don't know if we trust him. He's creating a lot of division, a lot of controversy." And Nicodemus is like, "Yeah, he's controversy, and in my circles, people don't like him, and in my circles, they're threatened, and in my circles, he's a rebel, and in my circles, he's got a bad name, but man, there's something about that guy. There's something about that guy that I want to talk to him." So let's picture some of this. The first thing I want you to know is Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He was educated. He was spiritual. He had the right talk down. He was a religious leader with a lot of knowledge, and he wasn't oblivious to the things of church and synagogue and temple, and he would have known how to light the candles and sing the songs and quote the old prophets, and he would have known those things. That would have been part of his vocabulary. That would have been a part of his regular religious experience. He knew those things. He was in a religious community. He was a Pharisee who was spiritual, yet he was still very curious about who is Jesus. Like, what does Jesus have to offer us? There's something about him that I need to meet with him. And so here's a Pharisee, religiously trained, religiously respected, knows the talk, walks the walk, yet doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't know him, so what's he gonna do? He takes the next step. It says that after dark, he went to approach Jesus. After dark, Nicodemus says, "I want to go meet with Jesus without anybody really knowing about it." He wasn't going to represent the Pharisees. He wasn't going to be the liaison. He wasn't there to be the, "I'm going to talk to you and then go take it back to my people." It was just him and Jesus. And he went after dark so no one would see it. No one was talking about it. No one would have to know that this conversation took place. He really just wanted to get to know Jesus personally without all the political and all the junk, all the controversy, all the religious controversy. He just wanted to get to know Jesus. And so he went after dark because after dark, he was able to find a safe place where he could meet with Jesus face to face. Isn't what all of us long for? Like, quit everybody shoving something down my throat. I just want to know it for me. I mean, I love what grandma taught me, but I need to know it. I'm glad my parents bring me here, but I know what that guy on the stage says. I know what the song says. I know what we're singing, but I need to know it. And I really want us to understand at the Field Church, let's talk about this. Sometimes you just need to explore, and we want to be a place that's a safe place where you can meet with Jesus face to face, and you can start having a heart-to-heart conversation with God that that only you can have because it's your relationship. It's not grandma's relationship. It's not your spouse's relationship. It's you and God, your relationship. Do you know him? And so Nicodemus slips away at night and says, I want to know Jesus. So he sets up a time after dark in a safe place, face to face, to talk. And to talk to someone who was a bit controversial. And so they begin to have this conversation. And then Jesus says, Nicodemus, you really need to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? Like, born again? Born again? And he's saying, Nicodemus, there's another life. There's more life. There's something beyond what you're experiencing right now. Like, that's his conversation. He's like, I know you're religious, and I know you're at the synagogue, and I know you can talk some stuff, but there's more. There's more. It's not just the physical life. See, their whole life as a Pharisee, everything was about following the right rules. It was showing up and following rules. Very physical. Very just be there and do the right things. And don't do a lot of other stuff. A lot of don'ts, and don'ts. And a lot of routine and a lot of rules. And Jesus is saying that's the physical life. But I'm going to offer you a life that is not just physical. It's not just natural. You're going to be able to be born again, a second time. And that's a huge difference because in this culture, all they were doing was the physical. They had no idea of living a life that it was so spiritual. And so he was explaining the experience of a new life, the experience of a supernatural life, the experience of a second chance, the experience of redemption and what was old can become new and rejuvenated and born again, he uses. He uses the terminology born again. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? He's still trying to figure this out. What say you, Jesus? What's going on here? I don't get this. Nicodemus doesn't completely understand this. It wasn't typical. It wasn't the ordinary. It wasn't what he was taught. It wasn't their rules. It wasn't the training that he had had. It wasn't all the things that he had memorized. It wasn't the way he washed your hands 1,000 times before you did something. All the different rules and the laws that they had. Like Nicodemus is going, what do you mean? There's a new way of looking at life. For generations, there was, this is the way you live life. And Jesus is like, there's another life. There's something else. You can be born again. And then Jesus helps him try to understand this by saying, you can be born of water and spirit. He's like, there can be the natural birth, and then there can be the supernatural birth. Jesus explains that there's natural, there's supernatural. There's ordinary, there's extraordinary. There's the normal, and then there's the miraculous. And Jesus is saying it takes both. Yeah, you're going to have your physical birth, but then there's room, there's a time to have the spiritual birth. To be born again. A physical life and a spiritual life. A life, the physical life is very man-centered. It's about me, it's about my kids, it's about my finances, it's about what I do, what I achieve, what I get, how I feel. You know, if I follow these rules and do these things and sell enough widgets, then I get this, this, and this, and I can provide for my family and me, my, and us. That's the physical life. And Jesus is saying, but there's more than that. There's a spiritual life that it's not just me, and my family and us, but it's us. It's me and you and us together. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, there's more than just jumping through all the hoops. And this is what our world is missing out on. When our world thinks church, they think services, Sundays, songs, pews or chairs, guys in robes, people in blue jeans, whatever they're thinking, but they're just thinking a lot of the physical things. And what they've never experienced is life, and life abundantly, and life to the full, and life that is rich and satisfying, and a life that is better than they've ever dreamed of. They've not, you've got friends and family that just, they're not even allowing themselves to go there. They can't dream of that. The world has held them down so much that they can't imagine the life that God wants for them. Because their new normal is just normal and ordinary, not extraordinary. And Jesus is saying, listen, it's physical and it's spiritual. This is a life that is new. And Nicodemus, you know what he says? How is this? He's still trying to figure this out. He's like, what? What are you talking about, Jesus? How can this be? Nicodemus is still trying to figure it out. Everybody say still, still, still. It's okay. It's a journey. It's a process. He's listening. He's meeting with Jesus. There's some of us in the room that are still living in the still. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to decide my way or God's way. We're still trying to go, you know, can I do things for me or should I do things for his kingdom? We're still trying to figure out, do I sacrifice for God's kingdom or do I just keep it all for myself? We're still trying to figure out, is it worth praying? Is it worth reading my Bible? Is it worth having great relationships? Is it worth these things? We're still trying to walk this out. And that's exactly where Nicodemus is. He's still trying to go, okay, Jesus, you just literally told me everything about eternity and life and life to the fullest, and I'm still trying to figure out how is this possible? And he's wanting to dive in, and he's wanting to understand more, and he's asking great questions. And that's okay. That's good. Like, that's why John is telling this story. There's this guy that really, in the world's perspective, was very educated, and he had it all together, and he's still trying to figure it all out. And if you feel that way, you're in great company, that we are still trying to have the best relationship and the best life possible with God. And so that's why he says, how? So Jesus has to backpedal it a little bit, and he goes, okay, now, remember Moses? Because they totally knew Moses. Moses was like the faith leader of all the generations before them. He was the one that wrote down, you know, all the early books of the Genesis and the law of Leviticus and the story of the exodus of people leaving slavery from Egypt into freedom. And like Moses was the author and walked with, he provided all that for him. Moses was the guy. And Jesus was like, okay, Moses, just like he raised up his staff and he was able to lead the way and provide the way for you and your people, I am the new way. And I am the way to get you to an eternity with God forever, not just to get across a body of water, not just to get out of slavery, not just to move from one geographical area to the other. Jesus is saying, I'm going to provide you a life that's beyond just geography. And Nicodemus is able to connect those dots and go, oh, I get Moses, because he knew Moses really well. And Jesus is helping him by creating this conversation to connect Moses to himself and says, there's more to the story. There's more to the Moses story. There's the eternal story. And then Jesus says, for this is how God loved the world. And then he begins to tell what you and I know is so famously is John 3:16, and it's written on bridges, and you're going to see it on signs if you're watching football today or whatever, and people know the John 3:16, that God gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He'll have eternal life. He'll have life to the fullest. And Jesus is trying to explain, this is how God loves us. He's sending me, he's telling this to Nicodemus, he's sending me to be the way, the truth, the life. He's going to use my life to offer you life. And then just to help Nicodemus understand the big perspective of God in this whole plan, it's like, listen, I'm not coming to judge the world. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to be the bad guy. I'm not here to pound people. God's not here because, you know, they would have been through the season of God would have been, you know, wiping out people to create more land and give the Israelites the area that God had given them. And sometimes people are questioning, is God good? Is God bad? Is God the big, you know, bully, or is he like the gracious father? And Jesus is saying, listen, this whole rescue plan, it's not to judge. It's not to judge at all. God isn't the bad guy here. He loves his people, so he's not here to judge. He's actually here to save. He wants to save the world. He wants to save the world that is stuck in their sin. He wants to save the world that is overwhelmed. He wants to save the world that is living a life blind to the sin and the poison that's inside of them that spiritually disconnects them from God. And Jesus wants to come and to save the world through him. Through him. So powerful that Jesus says, this is through me. This is through Jesus is where the salvation comes from. And he wants to be the savior. He wants to save the world. Now, all across the United States area and all the different bodies of water, we have the United States Coast Guard. Now, the Coast Guard is there, and it's kind of the forgotten arm of any kind of military and not even always the highest respected, but I can tell you what the Coast Guard is really good at is that when someone is in distress and someone is drowning and someone needs saved, they know how to swoop in and save them. In fact, statistics say, if you look at the U.S. Coast Guard stats, they save, on average, 10 lives a day somewhere in some body of water. Most of these people were going for a joyride or just going to work. They were just doing life. And the next thing you know, they begin to get into very dangerous waters or a dangerous situation where someone has to come in and save them. And Jesus is there like that. A lot of people forget he exists. A lot of people are just living life on their own, doing their own thing, and they don't realize they need a savior. They need to know God in a personal way. See, Jesus can help you today. Jesus can help all of us. He can guide us. He can bless you. He can encourage you. He can be your friend. We'll talk about that over the next several weeks of how you will experience a better life with Jesus. He's created you with purpose, and it's amazing. We'll talk about that. But today, the most important thing that he can do is he can save you from sin in your life. He can set you free, and you can inherit the kingdom of God. It's amazing. He can rescue you from a life of confusion, doubt, fear, apathy, not caring, feeling overwhelmed, seeing burdened, burnt out. He can give you that new life. You can experience life in a way that you didn't know was possible. That's what he wants to do. A better life, a full life. If you were with us last week, we had baptisms, and I love Baptism Sunday. And one of the people who got baptized was Jess, and there's a picture of her getting baptized last week. You know, she's friends with the Charleston family that invited her, and she started coming to MOPS and just kind of like leaning in. Let's go to MOPS. Let's go on Sunday. Let's lean in over a cup of coffee and figure some things out about life. And if you were here, you would have heard a little bit of her story. But she says, I've committed my life to Jesus Christ and have trusted in him for salvation. I'm excited to be baptized today because I want to honor God in my new life and show that I follow him. She wouldn't even know all the right terminology, and Jess is saying, this is my new life. She understands there's something new here, being born again, something new and fresh and real. Then she says, before I was lost, but now I'm following Jesus, and I have focus and purpose. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. As a child, I followed the teachings of Jesus, but lost connections with my church, and I was lost, and I was searching for direction. And then I found the community within the fields. I found MOPS. I was through God's word. I found my faith in Jesus again. Church has been a huge support to me, and now I want to serve and help others. The old life to the new. the leaning in and searching and trying to figure out what is real. It's so real. Like that is, it's so good. When I was in high school, like I said, I'd grown up in and out of church and done a lot of the church things. But my junior high and high school years, I kind of just, for whatever reason, our family wasn't going very often, and I hadn't found myself in church in a long time, and got to be skeptical and questioning it. Started dating Joy, and Joy's mom was in the hospital for something, I don't even remember what. And it was one of those things where you're there all day, and we were there in the waiting room and in the hospital room, and the family was with her mom in the room. And I was just like, you know, as the boyfriend, I thought, maybe I'll just go sit in the lobby for a while. And I find myself in the waiting room, sitting in the lobby way before cell phones, internet, data plans, and all that. And on the side of the table, of the chair, was a book, the Old New Testament. The New Testament was sitting there. I'm like, I remember, you know, I know this book as a kid, and my Christmas pageant was coming back to me or whatever. And I picked it up to read it, literally to read it to kind of prove it wrong, because I was like, I was very skeptical. I'm like, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to prove that some of this stuff is just lies and bogus and made up. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading the stories of Jesus. And as I'm reading the story of Jesus through, whether it was Matthew or Mark or maybe Luke or maybe John, I don't remember. But I remember reading that book going, man, I want to know more. Like, my past was coming back. My childhood Bible stories and Sunday school classes, it all started coming back. And I remember sitting in that room going, I want to read that. I want to know more. And I can picture Nicodemus late at night, like leaning into Jesus. And I don't have you all figured out, but I want to know more. I just want to know you. I want to know you personally. I was exploring, and I was in a private, safe place in a hospital waiting room with a copy of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, and I was starting to read it. Nicodemus found a safe place to meet with Jesus face to face. And I want you guys to know today is a safe place to meet with Jesus face to face. And that whatever you're wondering and what are you doubting, and I just have to believe that maybe you today need to privately kind of close your eyes and sneak away and explore God in your life, because this is a safe environment. This is a great place for that. In fact, if you guys would just close your eyes now and bow your heads. Today, this moment, it's a great time. Trust me, if you personally know God, you're going to experience just the greatest life possible. It's a full life. It's a life that's better than you've ever imagined. And some of you in the room today are needing to lean in and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to invite God into my life. I'm ready to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I am ready today, right now, as Jesus is knocking on our door of our heart and our life, he's just saying, hey, can I come in? And it's up to us if we're going to open that door up and say, yeah, I don't quite know everything. I haven't figured it all out, but come on in. Come on in. I want to discover more. I want to follow you. I'm going to begin to trust you with my life. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts right now as eyes are closed, heads are down, and they're having a safe place to meet you face to face. Speak into their lives right now about the urgency of knowing you right now, this moment, of opening up the door and inviting you in. Speak to us today, God. Help them to know from you. Help them, God. As your eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'm just going to ask you, if that's you today and you're at a place you're saying right now, Travis, I'm saying yes to Jesus and I'm inviting him into my life. I've experienced the overwhelmingness. I've experienced the emptiness. I've experienced feeling stuck. And today, I'm ready to take the next step of experiencing the best life possible by inviting Jesus into my life. If that's you, I'm going to start on the right side of the room. All you have to do is look up and make eye contact with me. It's a safe place where you're looking at me and nobody else is looking around. If that's you, just right now, I'm going to work my way through the room. Right now, just lift up your eyes and lift up your head and look at me. And I'll know that that's what God's doing in your life. Awesome. Great. Great. Good. Yeah, great. Thank you. Thanks for the honesty. That's good. Let God work in your life. Yeah, good. Just gonna scroll through the kind of the rows and the seats. Great. Awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Make room for God. Just invite him in. That's so good. Move over and just keep going down through the sections. You're going to see me if you're looking at my way now. So. Great. Just looking over on the far left side of the room now. That's you. Just look at me. Great. Thank you. Thanks for the honesty. Awesome. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. God will heal. Thank you. Yeah. Good. Thank you for your honesty. Let's do this together. A lot of people saying yes to Jesus. Let's all stand together in one accord, knowing that we're all in this together. And I'm going to pray for you guys. And what you're doing is when you pray this prayer, and I'm going to pray my words. You can pray out your own words, but all you're saying is, Jesus, come on in, and I'm ready to be adopted into your family, and there's going to be great celebration. It's awesome. Jesus, we are here today. We're empty, and there's some of us that have been a little lost, and I've seen it. I've seen their response to you, God. So, Lord, bring them into your family, and we follow you, and we follow you every day of our life, and we're excited, God, what you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us and you care about us. And there's not a person in this room that's here by accident. There's not a person listening to this message that's listening by accident. That today is the day, and it's the day of salvation to be saved and set free, and we get to really know you. So thank you, God, for all that you're doing. All that you're doing. I believe in one accord, let's close and sing a portion of a song that kind of ties all of our hearts together as we focus in on what God is doing here. So let's express ourselves together through a song.